welcome to this weekend's episode of Nevada Backcountry, only on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. We're going to jump right into it here because I know, Dave, you just got out of a meeting. You got more meetings to get to.
Yeah, good stuff.
Thank you to Shooting Performance Institute, Jim Irwin's operation down there in Gardnerville. Go to shootingperformanceinstitute.com. They've still got some course dates up on the website, and you can always sign up for an individual one-on-one. Holy smokes, there's that roller coaster that goes on this time of year where it's like you're through the roof because you got a tag.
Right.
We were just sitting here looking at the calendar going, oh, crap, we've got this, we got to do this.
Yeah.
It's like before you know it, the season is here. So for those of you listening that have archery tags, maybe you didn't take our advice on the show and you're just now pulling out your bow and going through arrows and all that. There's an archery workshop up there in Elko on July 23rd that I guess is hosted by Endow employees.
That and I think the archery club or the Elko
archery
Elko club.
So that's at the end of the month. And then there's the Battle Mountain. I think it's what, Best of the West or something?
Yeah, it's called the Best of the West 3D Championship.
You've done it?
I've done it. I've been up there and shot that shoot before. It was 2 years ago, I think I shot it with some friends. And it's a fun shoot. It's a good time. It's a really nice shoot right before you get into the opener for cow elk and antelope and then deer, you know, a week or so later.
Right.
It's nice to get out there and
that final kind of confidence booster.
For folks, I mean, like you and I, we're shooting all the time at different places, but it's nice to get out there. It'd be a really good one for folks to dust off the bow and see if it's still
one last blast.
Well, that's it, buddy. That's it.
That's July 19th and 20th. And then there's the Wednesday night league thing out at Silver Arrow Bowman in Lemon Valley. And there's the Tuesday night one in Carson City. I think there's only a couple weeks left on both of those.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's only like 1 or 2 weeks left on those because they think pretty much end the week before the opener.
Right.
So which is next weekend.
Yeah, coming up soon.
Really coming up soon.
So that's it. Otherwise, you are left to your own devices. I'd strongly encourage newer bow hunters, especially if you have an archery tag. Man, if you can make it to Elko for the archery workshop, the Battle Mountain shoot, something to at least get you out and give you that last boost of confidence before you hit the woods. You want to dive right into housekeeping stuff?
Yeah, let's do it.
We got a ton of it. Our friend Jamie Martinez sent us a text. Reminder to folks listening that Northern Nevada Outfitters, August 7th at the Star Hotel and Bar in Elko, they're doing that Hunt for Hope charity dinner. They've got a bunch of donations. They still have a few seats available. All you got to do is go to northernnevadaoutfitters.org.
First annual charity banquet for the free guide services for veterans and such. So it's really great. I mean, I wish I could go and participate. Sorry, Jamie and folks, that we're not going to be there, but I think we're going to be on the mountain chasing cow elk.
Ideally, no.
Ideally, we'll have it on the ground already,
yes.
But
yep.
We're going to be in the field. But
with our schedule, and both you and I are, you've already turned yours in. This is a topic I want to bring up.
Yeah, yeah.
Online or in person to turn in tags?
You can only turn it in person. You have to relinquish the actual tag.
So gotcha.
You can't turn in a tag like email or online. There's no online option to return your tag.
So I thought there was.
I don't remember seeing one. I don't remember anyone talking about one. The last I had conversations with folks was that you've got to take it to a office and turn the tag in.
So then I need to get my rear end in gear because our schedule, we're going to go basically straight from my cow hunt to your bull hunt. I do not see an opportunity to hunt deer.
No. Well, and we haven't even prepped or scouted or anything for the deer tag. So yeah, I turned that thing in and I know one of our other party members has already turned their tag in. And so there's just you and last person to turn them in so we can hopefully keep our points for next year.
Yes.
So remember that, folks. If you've got a party tag and you're turning your tag in, but somebody in your party decides, nope, I'm going to keep it and hunt it, you don't get your points back. So if you had hypothetically you had 5 points going into the party draw, and one person in your group decides, nope, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to go out and at least spend a weekend trying to hunt. You still lose your points even though you turned your tag in.
Correct.
The whole party has to drop their tags.
While we're on the subject, we're going to keep going with this for a minute.
Yeah.
How long after those tags are turned in, what's the lag time between that and them showing up on first come, first serve?
It's a kind of a random deal so that they did it that way so that you don't have like me turning my tag in and my buddy Joe Schmo is sitting at his computer waiting for it to pop up so he can grab it.
That's exactly the scenario that was presented to me. I told someone I was going to turn in that deer tag, and they said, well, let me know as soon as you do, and I'll be on the computer because I would like that tag.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Okay.
It doesn't work that way. So when you turn your tag in and it gets processed, it goes basically into, you know, a pile.
Like okay.
The pile of all of the tags. And then randomly, it will spit a tag out. Or tag several of them, but it'll spit them out. And I think there is a deal where it, at least it's taking the ones that have hunts that are coming up soon. So it's not random in the sense that an archery deer tag ends up spitting out on the 25th of August. It knows that the season starts on the 10th, so it's going to start rotating those into the system sooner than somebody that turned in their October deer hunt.
Right.
You know, a December deer hunt.
Okay.
You know, something like that. So it has that algorithm in there, but it's not like you turn it in and then 30 seconds later it pops up on first come, first serve. It doesn't work that way.
Well, there you go. So we can't game the system.
You can't game the system that way. So
what about, here's another hypothetical that got thrown. I got sucked into a conversation on first come, first serve yesterday or the day before. What about if you are not eligible for the tag?
It won't allow you to put it in.
It won't even show up?
Well, it'll show up, but if you click it to like put it in your cart, it'll tell you you can't. You have a grace period. Say you shot your antelope, horns longer than ears, 2 years ago, and one pops up, and you're like, ooh, I'm going to grab it. It's there, so I grab it. It'll say, sorry, sucker, you can't do that. You got to wait.
That was the exact example that was in the conversation, was antelope.
Yeah.
Say they're still, you're still in the waiting period.
Right.
You can't check out with
correct.
One.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you go and put in for your tags.
It's grayed out.
It's grayed out.
Yeah, okay.
So it's, in a sense, it's kind of like in the background, you're grayed out from grabbing a tag that you're in a grace period for.
Okay.
So you can click it all day long, but it ain't going to happen.
Another one.
Yeah.
7 days, you can only buy one tag every 7 days. So even if you're eligible for, say, an elk tag, a cow elk rifle tag, and an antelope horns longer tag, and those both happen to show up on first come, first serve, the website states that it's one tag in your cart every 7 days. So you've got to decide, do I want the cow elk rifle tag or do I want the horns? That's
correct. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then if you end up putting something in your cart, say you put a cow elk tag in your cart and you're like, you know what? I don't know if I really want it. And you don't end up purchasing it. Your time runs out and it gets sucked out of your cart and back into the randomizer. You can't grab another tag for 7 days.
Oh, even if you don't complete the checkout process.
Right.
Oh, okay. So, hey, you're listening.
And that was created last year, the year before, because there were individuals that were just grabbing tags, loading their cart up with like tags. And they're generally individuals that had the access to purchase multiple tags because they had clients.
Oh.
And they were loading their cart up with tags. And then contacting clients like, hey, do you want an antelope tag? You want a deer tag? You want an elk tag? You want a sheep tag? And trying to rustle
game
up
the system.
Game the system. And if somebody was like, no, and they timed out and the tag went back into the pit, then the person would grab another one, you know, kind of like drumming up business.
Right.
I have these tags available. You guys want to hunt it. So this kind of eliminated that.
Man, people are...
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter
creative.
What you do. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter what you do. People will find a way around all of the, you know, the minutia to benefit themselves. Kudos to them, man. If it's available in that kind of a situation, then not your fault for knowing how to work around the everything in the gray areas. Just when it gets found out, it kind of screws the pooch for other folks that that are trying to get tags, because if you're holding on to 10 tags that people could have used, and then so then if somebody doesn't grab it and you time out, then you're off. You're off the grid for, I think it's 7 days.
When you said sheep tags have popped up on there.
Oh, in the past. Every year, you know, a few sheep tags will pop up, and bull elk tags. You know, sometimes situations happen. We have a mutual friend that has got to turn in their bull tag. They did something dumb and blew a shoulder out. So now they can't draw a bow. I mean, they could technically go to the doctor and get a archery disability form, fill that out, and
do
be able
to
shoot it with a crossbow. And then, because those have to be renewed every year now.
Oh, okay.
So if you have a disability,
right,
you have to fill that form out every year, get it signed off on, and then provide it to the Department of Wildlife to allow you to shoot or to hunt with a crossbow.
But they've elected to turn it in.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, most days just being me feels like a disability, but I don't know if I could get a doctor to sign off on
something. Yeah, it'd be tough. Well, you know, it's a big expense. If you're like, okay, I'm going to go shoot with a crossbow now. Now you got to go buy a crossbow and bolts.
Oh, and they're not cheap. Yeah.
No. Then the arrows and then the specific crossbow broadheads, because they're different. So, yeah, it'd be a heck of a cost.
Just for a
then learn how to shoot the dang thing.
Yes, yeah. We're up against the clock, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about a recent rescue in the Sierra and how an inReach saved this person. We'll also cover a little bit about the transportation restriction zone, CWD, still in effect this year. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Just joining us, the show is Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. If you miss a segment of the show, you can always go to 991fmtalk.com. Just click on the podcast tab and all the past episodes are available there. Thank you to Legacy Sports International, home of the Howa Superlight, for sponsoring the show. Let's jump right back in, Dave. I mentioned a recent rescue in the Sierra. This was just the other day.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this?
I did.
Yeah.
I did, yeah.
13,600 feet or something?
Yeah, she was way up there.
Yeah, Mount Williamson, down there in that Mount Whitney portal. She fell, broke her leg. I guess it was a compound fracture or something.
Ooh.
Yeah, so she spent the night up there with a bone sticking out of her leg. Here's what caught my eye in the article and why I wanted to bring it up on the show. I always carry my inReach in my bino harness. It's always on my chest, strapped to me. The thing that saved her was the fact that her inReach was on her person. It was not in her pack, because in the fall, her pack, I guess, got torn off and fell like another couple hundred feet down this cliff. If her inReach had not been wherever, in her jacket pocket or whatever, she would have been hosed big time.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I was thinking about it, and I was like, man, I think my bino harness would stay. If I were to fall, I think it'd stay on me.
Yeah, you'd hope. If not, that was one heck of a fall.
Yeah.
To rip your bino harness off your chest.
Yes, and in which case, I probably wouldn't be able to operate it anyway, because I'd
probably
be so
not.
Banged up.
You should be so banged up or dead.
But here's what got me thinking when I was reading this article. When I was in Canada on that hunt, Josh, the guide that we were with, he had an inReach too, and that's how we were communicating for most of it.
Yeah, through texting.
I noticed he didn't have his you know how they come with a carabiner?
Yeah.
And he would just like throw it in a pocket or whatever. It was kind of, and that kind of stuff always makes me go, ugh. But then I don't know if I'm being overly neurotic. I have the military background thing where it's like, I remember doing tie downs on equipment till 2 o'clock in the morning so that they could be inspected to make sure everything was secured no matter what. So I always keep that carabiner on there.
Yeah.
And I clip it to a loop inside my bino harness. So anyway, I found that fascinating that, she would have been hosed if it had not been in a pocket.
Well, and it just shows you that how important, you know, a little device like that could be. I mean, That was her life or death.
Right. Absolutely.
There. If she didn't have it, they would have found her who knows when.
Right.
Probably as a decomposed body. Like, oh, hey, there she is.
Especially with a compound fracture.
Oh, yeah. That would have gone septic in no time. And yes. She would have been done.
I can't imagine having to spend the night and you're just looking at a bone coming
just
out of your leg.
Out like, huh,
this is a bummer.
This sucks.
Yeah. But she fired it up. She used the SOS feature. And even with that, they got that, I believe it was like an aviation wing stationed at that China Lake down there. They were the ones that actually found her. So it's still, even with that SOS feature and your coordinates, in that kind of country, it's still not like a ordering an Uber to your house.
Right, yeah, they're not going to be there, you know, like a Domino's pizza.
You're not getting the little updates like your Uber is 5 minutes. No, you still might have to wait hours and hours and hours.
Freaking out, wondering, did it go through? Did it go through?
But no confirmation. I mean,
the beauty is that she had it. And
yes.
Like I have an InReach as well, and I attach it to one of the little loops on my backpack.
Oh, you would have been hosed.
I would have been hosed. So now I will be changing my program a little bit there. So, yeah.
Yeah, they mentioned in the article that was the only thing that saved her was the fact she had it in a pocket, not
in
her pack.
She actually had it on her person and not in her pack. You know, I've got that 5.11 pack. I just
throw it in there.
Well, I just click it onto one of the little loops.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, we're good.
Nope.
Not now.
No. So... Yeah. There you go. There's a cautionary tale for those of you listening out there. Let's stay on the technology thing for a minute, Dave. I got a listener question about using Onyx offline maps.
Okay.
So I want to bring this up because these are the things that I just take for granted that everybody does. Before you go, even if you think, okay, I'm going to be hunting 200 yards from I-80, I definitely will have cell service. I can use my maps.
Oh, yeah, no.
No. Download your offline maps. And I was going to bring up the file size on there. I always just do the medium.
That's what I do. Yeah. Depending on how many maps you download, if you go to high, you got to build, 500 maps for your area because they're so small, for the download. And then especially if you're in the field, because I did that exact thing. I forgot to download two of my maps when I was up there. And it happened to be that's the area I was in when we were scouting. Just happened to be the two maps that I was actually hiking around.
Yeah.
So everything was blurry. So I'm like, crap. So I had cell service where I was. So I clicked download, but it took.
Forever.
It took 15 minutes, 20 minutes for each one to download.
Yes.
You're so remote. And then one thing you also have to remember, because this happened to me as well, is Onyx does a lot of updates. They're getting new satellite imagery regularly. So if your maps need an update, if you uploaded them a year ago, six months ago, even a month ago, you'll need to re-hit the buttons for an update load, to upload the updates. And I didn't do that. So some of my maps, even though they were offline maps, became blurry because they required an update.
Dave, as you're sitting here saying this, I had this level of confidence because I was just the unit where my cow hunt is. I was just in that unit last year on another cow hunt. And that's when I downloaded all the offline maps for the unit.
Yeah,
so I was like, I already got them downloaded.
Yeah,
I'm good.
If you go to it, you go to your offline maps and you look at them. It'll say update available. So you just got to click them for updates. And then
I better check then.
Yeah. And then there's also an option on the Onyx where some of the maps you'll be at a location and say it's a water hole and it's full. And you're like, oh, sweet. But then on your map, it's dry as a bone from the image on the map. You can, the imagery is not as high quality because it's almost like a live feed in a sense. It's very recent imagery. But you can go into your maps and click the option. I'm trying to pull it up right now. Oh, see, I just updated my maps about 4 days ago. And
it
just opened up right now. It says update all maps. So you can hit that and do it. But there is an option for the map to be what's called current view.
And okay.
You click it, then it showed my water hole that was full.
Gotcha.
So if that's what you want to do. If not, and you're just kind of tooling around, and you're like, I see it. It's full. The map is from, 6 months ago. So there is that option. I found that the other day when I was out in the field tooling around.
Yeah, that's like, news to me. I didn't know that.
I didn't know it either. I was just farting around, and I'm like, what's this little button? So I clicked it, and it changed my map and changed the whole topography of everything that I was viewing. And I was like, that's
awesome.
That's like almost like right now. It was cool.
So, hey, I just learned something. I was going to say, before you head out, make sure you do it right now. But it sounds like I need to cool my heels until right before I head out while I'm still connected to Wi-Fi at home and download my offline maps.
Yeah. And then another really cool, it's just a safety precaution deal that helped me a couple years back with Onyx. Is we went on a hunt, harvested an animal, went and found the animal, and by the time we got done, processing and getting the thing in the bags and on the frame packs and stuff, it was dark.
Right.
Like no moon, and we're like, oh crap. Which way's camp or which way's the UTV? And we're like, this way, it must be that way. So don't get yourself lost somewhere when it's pitch dark out and everything looks the same. I always track myself.
Oh, good call. So, I thought you were going to bring up the look feature where it gives you that blue cone to show you which direction.
What direction.
I do that a lot.
That's cool.
Where same thing at night, I'll use the look feature and I go, there's the pin I dropped on the side-by-side. We got to head that direction.
Yeah, I'll definitely always drop a pin when I stop in the side-by-side and then I go hiking in or do whatever I'm going to do. I always drop a pin to where it is. But I'll also hit the track feature.
Smart.
And it just follows me because if I'm on like a game trail or something, because, trying to find an 8-inch wide game trail is like, I don't know, I'm just going to bushwhack through here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just follow the track back and I'm like, okay.
All right, I know where I'm going. Yeah.
Here we go. This is how we get out.
On a bull hunt 1 year down there in New Mexico in the Gila, super nice guy. He worked for the New Mexico Fishing Game or whatever it is down there. He sent me his tracks from his bull hunt.
Oh, nice. Dude, that's
super nice guy.
Weird.
Yeah, I wish I could remember his name, but he was like, just follow this. Here's where I went. You'll see where I stopped and called, and this is where bulls bugled back. But it was like getting the master key. I was like, holy smokes, people will send pins or areas. Yeah. This guy was straight up like, hey, you can walk my path, and here's where I called bulls in from. And it was like, this is awesome, man. Thank you.
Wow, that's really sweet of him.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Most guys would send you in the wrong direction. Like, here's a pin.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just such a rare tag to get in such remote country that he was just like, I don't care. I ain't ever going to see this tag again.
And that might be the case. He's like, I already shot my bull here, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime tag. So
here you go.
I don't care who has information now.
Yeah.
I got my bull.
Nice, though, because my dad and I, when we dropped down into that canyon, it was like, he walked down this finger, and he called here in a bolt. So anyway, on that note, we got to take another break, but when we get back, I want to ask you a couple questions about sharing Onyx stuff, your personal take on it. It's that time of year where I start getting hit up for pins.
Yeah, same here.
So we'll talk about that when we come back on Nevada Backcountry. Welcome back to Nevada Backcountry, sponsored by Battleborn Tree Service. If you're just joining us, so far we've covered, a little bit of everything. Archery news, the Northern Nevada Outfitters Hunt for Hope charity dinner August 7th at the Star Hotel in Elko. An in-reach rescue in the Sierra. We started going down the Onyx rabbit hole, and I got one more thing on that. I don't want to call it ethics, but maybe manners when talking about points or asking about areas.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, and you and I were in agreement, if someone approaches me about and says, hey, do you know anything about this unit? And even if it's a close friend, now there's like, close friends that I can count on a Simpsons hand. I'll use that reference for anybody that gets it.
Yeah.
You're short a few fingers. If it's one of those friends, I'm usually like, don't worry about it, dude. Like, hey, here's where I would go. Here's my pins. Here's da, 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 da. But outside of the friends I can count on a Simpsons hand, even if we're a close kind of friendship, man, I'll tell you like, hey, a canyon, a peak maybe yeah. even a bowl. I'll say, yeah, I'd probably check this out.
Like a basin or something and then, you know, here's this basin. There's a good vantage point up here. There's this rock knoll. Get up there and you can glass the whole area. That kind of stuff. Yeah.
But the second, if someone, and especially someone who is like an acquaintance, but not like somebody I drink a beer with.
Right.
And they ask me to send them points.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you got some. Hey, can you send me your pins for this area? And you're like, what?
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Yeah. I'm not helping you.
No, it's like you're
it makes me crazy.
It's about equivalent to asking me for, hey, you got some Bitcoin you can share?
Yeah.
No.
You got any nudie pics of your wife, man? I'd really like those. I'm like, no.
I'm alone up here. You got any nudes?
Yeah. It's like, no, man. Yeah. So if you're new to hunting, I know Onyx is all the rage. Hey, I love the thing. I use it like crazy.
I use it for work. Those things, in my opinion, they're kind of like our bonus points. That's value to me. You know, this is something.
A lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into this.
A lot of
pins.
Money, resources, weekends. I mean, you name it to build those points. Because, like you and I, we put our boots on the ground and we get in there and we'll spend a weekend just like, I've never been on this hillside. I'm going to go check it out. And you just check it out.
Yeah.
And then you're dropping pins like, oh, wow, man, there's XYZ here. And oh, check that out. And
yep.
But when somebody's like, well, yeah, I've never been in that area. I drew a tag for it this year, and we're leaving tomorrow. Do you have any pins? You had months to get out there and just get eyes on the ground.
You could have done the same thing I did to get those pins.
Right. Exactly. So, no, you can't have pins.
Yeah. So, word to the wise, if you are a newer hunter, which we've gotten emails from people before asking, they said, hey, I'm a newer hunter. If you want to endear yourself to fellow hunters, say, hey, look, I'm not looking for honey holes. I drew this tag. I haven't had a lot of success. Maybe you've been out there. You know, do you have any pointers? Just could you point me in the right direction?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, most hunters would be willing to help. If you lead with, can you give me some pins? Oh, man, you are not going to endear yourself to other hunters.
No, you're not. Because, I mean, you look at Nevada and a lot of our areas are enormous.
100%.
And for a new person getting into the game, you know, with his kids or something, whatever it might be, to drive into, say, the Monitors or the Shell Creeks and just stare at those mountains going, oh, geez, where do I even start? You know, it's overwhelming. But yeah, you're right. If you bring it up in a way like, hey, man, I've never been in this area. We're going in there. Like, where are some good access points?
Yes.
Like, how do I get into a good area to camp? And can you give me some, you know, like you said, give me some pointers to help me have a good hunt?
Yeah.
Cool. No problem. Sit down, grab a map, line things out.
Oh, and I always ask too, where have you been? I've had this exact conversation before with somebody where they said, man, I've been in there 2 weekends now. I haven't seen a deer.
Yeah.
I'm pulling my hair out. And I always ask them, hey, pull up your map. Where have you been?
Yeah.
And they'll show me and just say, hey, I went up here. I checked this out. And then I'm always more inclined to be like, man, I would be on this point at sunrise and they like this type of whatever.
Yeah.
I'll be more helpful if I know someone's putting in the work and just not
finding
stuff.
Somebody's put some effort in to actually go out there and try it on their own for a bit. And then they're like, yeah, man, I'm
struggling.
I suck. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I agree. I 100% agree with you on that.
There's the ethics of OnX.
Yeah.
And I've even gotten to the point now because they introduced that feature, you can hide your stuff.
Yes.
So I'd make, especially if it's like a unit that I've been in, you know, half a dozen times over the years, and it took me that long to really figure it out and figure out like, oh, this is where they feed out of and this is what I hide those pins.
Yeah.
Just in the off chance that I mistakenly, I'm like, oh, yeah, here, let me pull up mine. And I don't want those prying eyes seeing
kind
stuff.
Kind of glancing at it.
Yeah, like, oh, he had.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a friend of mine had this tag that I've got last year and harvested a pretty nice bull.
Yeah.
And we were just chit-chatting about it. And out of the blue, he's like, hey, man, here's the pin where I shot mine.
cool, thank you.
I'm like, dude, you didn't have to do that, but thanks. He's like, yeah, there were two other bulls in there that were really nice as well, but he's the one that gave me the shot.
Yeah, but that's like, also because you're Dave Catalano. You're one of those friends on a Simpsons hand that I would be like, yeah, hey, Dave, here's my points, man.
Well,
take it.
Thank you. Thank you. So, but yeah, it was cool. I mean, this Onyx has just become such a, like your investment portfolio.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. When I look at the state, if I had to add up all the dollars and cents for gas.
Oh my God.
That each one of those little red pins cost me.
Oh yeah.
Last little bit of listener interaction I wanted to bring up. We will go the complete opposite direction from modern technology. Snake gators.
Yes.
Dave, Dave's smiling already. Go, go ahead, lay some snake gator stuff on me.
So I have several pairs of these.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah. Well, okay. So I don't have the snake gators.
Right.
I have the snake boots.
Oh, right, right, right.
The big snake boots that go all the way up to just underneath your knee.
Yep.
And I have hunted with those for 25 plus years.
You have?
Oh, yeah. That's the only boot I will hunt. That's the only thing I will wear when I'm out there in July and August and September, because I've had encounters with rattlesnakes. And, you know, especially with archery hunting, it gives me a sense of security.
Okay.
You know, when I'm cruising around and, you know, I'd rather have the crispies on and stuff. And then I guess you could put the gator things
over them
or something. But yeah, I have the actual snake boots.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Then I was smiling because I was thinking that Dave was going to say what I was going to say, which is I can't stand them. I've tried them on once and I was like, I can't hunt these things, and maybe I'm a fool and I've had plenty of encounters with snakes. I won't wear them.
Yeah.
I just run those lightweight, crispy. I think they're the Laponias or whatever.
Yeah, I just picked up another pair of those Laponias.
I love those things. When they're broken in, they're like hunting in slippers.
Oh yeah.
They're great.
Fantastic. But these snake boots, man, once they're broke in, they are.
You make them work for you.
Oh yeah. They are so comfortable. I got a brand new pair that I won't hunt with this year because, I got to walk around the house and, you know, maybe use them for work a couple of times just to break them, because they, like most boots, but if they're not broken in and you go out and you do a 5-mile hike or something, your feet are going to suck.
Okay.
It's going to hurt. I've gotten used to them. I like them. I like they're comfortable for me and they work really well.
Well, there you go, folks. Hey, if you're worried about it, maybe snake boots is the right call.
Just and break them in.
Maybe I need to learn my lesson the easy way at some point. Hey, do not go anywhere. We are going to take a quick break on Nevada Backcountry. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Final segment of Nevada Backcountry. Before I forget and we move on, which we do all the time on the show, and I tell people we're going to talk about something and then we never get to it, the Transportation Restriction Zone, or TRZ, as it relates to CWD, chronic wasting disease, in the state, that is still going on. And I wanted to point out, I can't remember if it was mandatory last year or if it was voluntary. But
mandatory in certain zones.
It was.
Yes.
Okay.
Because of the detection so close to Nevada on the California side.
So I saw that it's mandatory again this year. It's 192 through 196, 201 through 208, 211 through 213, and unit 291.
Correct.
So that is mandatory that you do the survey if you harvest in there.
Yep.
And then I noticed it's voluntary for the rest of the state.
Correct.
So if you'd like to participate, which I would encourage people, if you're hunting those units up on the Idaho border, I can't remember if I saw any hot spots in Oregon, but I know for a fact in Idaho, it's marching south.
It is. It's marching south pretty well. So yeah, and even if you don't harvest, if you see a deer out there that's kind of doing some weird
looks
stuff,
looks like it's drunk.
Yeah, you know, it looks like a drunk deer, or it's just acting funny. If you can, take a minute, maybe get some video of it, and then send it to the Department of Wildlife saying, hey, this is the area I was in. If you have a pin, jokey joke. If you have a pin, send it in. if you have the time to do that, that'd be really helpful. Okay. There were no detections, thankfully, last year.
Go ahead, knock. I saw you wanted to. Go ahead, knock on wood.
Not last year, so that's why it's mandatory in those same zones as last year.
Okay.
I would assume that if it had been detected in the area, they would have expanded that mandatory zone significantly to start really grabbing a larger swath or a larger sample size, but it's still, you know, localized to those certain bordering hunting zones.
I was going to point out to people, it's basically, if you go from like Peavine and just trace the California border all the way down to like the bears almost.
Almost to the bears, yeah.
That's where, those are the mandatory areas, and even inland a little bit, like the Sweetwaters, the Pine Nuts, those are those units where it is mandatory still.
Yeah.
The Genoa unit, 192. Yeah.
There should be a letter being sent out to folks that have tags in those areas, or if not a letter, maybe an email explaining this, like, you know, you have a deer tag in this area. These are mandatory if you harvest an animal to follow these steps.
Yeah, I read that letter. It's actually posted on the NDOW website as well.
Yeah.
If you look under the CWD stuff, so no excuses if you listen to the show and maybe you have a tag in one of those units and you haven't gotten a letter for whatever reason, you moved recently or whatnot, just go to the NDOW website, click on the CWD link, and it comes up there. It's got a QR code you can scan.
Yeah.
Everything you need to know about the issue, which, again, knock on wood, has not been an issue yet. But like you said, I saw those hot spots in Idaho moving south pretty rapidly. And I know it is, in fact, right there in those herds that are on the California border.
Oh, yeah.
And those herds come through Bridgeport, come into the Sweetwaters. Anyway, enough about that. That's doom and gloom stuff.
Yeah, right.
So let's wrap up the show on a lighter note. Let's see. I've badmouthed people who ask for pins. I've badmouthed snake boo. No. Northern Washoe County. If you are one of the unlucky ones out there and you don't have a big game tag this year, holy smokes, Northern Washoe County, anecdotally, this was just one weekend I was up there, well, 3 days I was up there, birds everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere. To the point where I was taking video, I was glassing up chucker from across a canyon.
You sent me those pictures. I was like, oh, yeah.
I was just sitting there because every morning we'd wake up and it was like the entire bowl we were in would just light up.
Yeah.
And I was out there
like
one morning.
Orchestra.
Oh, overwhelmingly loud. And I'm going, holy smokes, there's a lot of birds. One morning I'm out there standing off the tailgate of my truck and I look up. There's a couple dozen of them running right there. Down to the water.
Oh,
and
right,
I was
like, in front of you?
Right in front of me. I was like, holy smokes. So I can't speak for other parts of the state. I haven't been out there that much yet, but man, Northern Washoe County. I did check out one of my spots, I'll call it, a pin I won't share. but when you're glassing them up, you know there's a lot of birds.
Yes.
And I'll give a little fishing report. We stopped at Wall Canyon Reservoir. Holy smokes, the smallmouth bass fishing's on fire right now.
That's what I've heard. We could not
go wrong. And to the point where I've got John on a rod, you know, kids, they just want whatever the flashiest looking. We're throwing spoons and some of those rooster tails and stuff. And so John be like, I want to try that one. And I'm looking at it going, man, there's no way in hell you're going to catch a fish on that. First cast, bam, Wall Canyon Reservoir. Man, if you're looking for a trip, you want to do a little camping, it's
awesome.
It's just phenomenal.
That's good. That's good to know. That's good to know. I've heard it's been pretty darn good up there, so that's nice, especially the birds. Somebody was just asking me at the gym, and somebody was asking me if I was getting ready for chucker season.
Yep.
I'm like, dude, it's July, but sure.
I'm getting ready during chucker season.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm getting ready for elk hunting now, but trust me, chucker season is not far off the brain. That's for sure. So.
Well, and both of us with our early season archery things, or I guess yours is just the archery season for bulls. But I mean, holy smokes, man, we should be done, freezers full by mid-September at the latest. And then we can switch gears and chase birds.
Yeah, start thinking about birds.
And I'm excited. I shout out to Aaron at Battleborn Bird Dogs. My normal dog trainer has moved out of the area, so I've got a 7-month-old setter at home that's going to be going to Aaron here shortly. And I found it interesting, and what I appreciate about him, I'll segue for a minute. He was like, look, man, I'm not working a young dog in the summer heat right now. I'm not doing it. Why don't you bring him in September? And I kind of wanted to start the season with both Fletch and Dixie working together.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like, hey, I'll do like a July, August, September. End of September comes. My hunts are wrapped up. I'll pick up my dog. We'll start second Saturday in October. It'll be perfect. He was just flat out honest. And like I said, he just goes, I'm not going to work a young dog in the heat.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not going to do him any justice, because you're talking about 5:30 in the morning to maybe 7:30.
Yeah.
And then you got to wait till 8:30 at night.
Well, especially now, you know, people have, no, it's supposed to be in the triple digits.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I'm going out scouting again and in an
area. You were talking about the water out there.
Yeah. Last time we were out, I mean, there were two of the springs that I was like, yeah, it might be dry by August. Nope, they're dry now.
Yeah.
They're done because we haven't had any moisture. Been sitting in the 80s and 90s for a couple weeks, and now we're hitting the hundreds. Man,
it's going to be a hot season.
Yeah. I told my buddy, Pat, I told Pat, I said, man, make sure you bring some hydration, the Liquid IVs or something, bring those, because it's going to get hot out there and we're just going to be tooling about, and I'm not carrying your heavy Asian ass out of the mountain.
No, I'm not packing Pat out.
I'm not packing you out. I'm going to hand you my InReach and
fire it up.
You test it out like the lady with the broken leg, and you can hit that SOS button as I'm going back to camp.
Yeah.
Let somebody else come pick you up.
And even in that, at a certain point, man, I mean, bird dogs aside, they're covered in fur.
Yeah.
Human beings, even just riding in a side-by-side.
Yeah.
After 3 hours of being in that sun.
It sucks.
Yeah. Everybody be safe out there, and man, I'm looking forward to a great bird season. Hopefully we get a break from this heat, but it doesn't look like it's coming anytime soon.
Yeah, not in the next 4 or 5 days. It sure doesn't look like it.
Yep, and that'll do it for Dave and I on this weekend's episode of Nevada Backcountry. Do not go anywhere. Tom Gresham's Gun Talk is coming up next.